It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A new Toonzeum exhibit is opening this Friday. It's called Slinging Satire, Political Cartoons and the First Amendment. This compelling exhibition showcases the work of today's top political cartoonists. And part of the exhibit is dedicated to cartoons that were created in response to the January 7th terrorist attack on the offices of French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. Here to tell us more about what we'll see is Pittsburgh Post-Gazette editorial cartoonist Rob Rogers joining us in studio. Rob, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be here.
And you can join this conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 as we get into talking about some of the certainly debatable aspects of this exhibit. But first, let's have you start, Rob, by explaining how this exhibition of current editorial cartoons was put together.
Well, actually, it sprang out of an exhibition from last year that was put on by the American Association of Editorial Cartoonists, and that was in San Francisco. There's we have a sister museum. Well, not a sister museum. We don't own it, but there we trade exhibits all the time. And so what happened was that exhibit was there and was slated to come to us this spring. And so we were sort of spring and summer, and we were sort of waiting. And then after the Charlie Hebdo massacre, I said to myself, you know, we should really talk about that too. Talk about free speech. Talk about what it means. What does satire mean? What is it that these cartoonists do every day in the newspapers and magazines and on the internet? And show some of those responses. So it was sort of an exhibit that already existed. I had to add in a lot of newer cartoons because some of the ones that came from San Francisco, I realized, were out of date. So we sort of turned it into a whole new exhibit. But that's how it got started.
And what are the current issues that these up-to-date cartoons are addressing?
Well, we have a couple on Donald Trump, lots of Hillary Clinton 2016 campaign cartoons. There's gay marriage is a big topic. The Confederate flag there's several cartoons on that.
All the big recent issues.
All the big recent issues. So we did update it to reflect that. And then the other half of the exhibit is, of course, these responses from January. Some that were drawn in January, some that were drawn weeks later, sort of in a more thoughtful response.
And what makes this exhibition so rare?
Well, I actually don't think anybody has done an exhibition of these response cartoons from cartoonists all over the world. And the reason it sort of interested me was it started this discussion about free speech and what constitutes, you know, quote unquote, acceptable free speech, and what doesn't. And then, you know, the obvious reaction to what was happening in the Charlie Hebdo magazine was certainly egregious to most cartoonists. And so there was this instant sort of solidarity with these cartoonists that were killed, and with the magazine itself. And so you saw all of these expressions of that on social media and on the internet instantly. I mean, it was amazing. And it was also amazing to me, just as somebody observing this phenomenon, to see how many cartoonists, you know, sort of used similar images, you know, used a pencil or a pen or some kind of, you know, as a weapon in the cartoon, you know, showing that that the pen is mightier, that kind of thing, you know.
And you did something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did one where I showed my initial cartoon right after the event was just sort of a solidarity fist holding a pen that said "Je suis Charlie," and then later I did several others that were more addressing the actual attack and some of the things that happened.
And so this and you certainly brought up some things that get to the crux of the debate, and
right.
And as we discuss this, I know people are going to want to join in. So 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at @ESSPGH. Okay, so what constitutes fair satire? In your opinion, because the issue of satire is being reexamined in the wake of the Charlie Hebdo massacre.
Right. Right, exactly. And that's kind of what we're addressing here. You know, what's interesting is that you would think that all cartoonists being arbiters of free speech and, you know, having free speech be, especially political cartoonists, being the way they keep their jobs, the way they make a living, you would think that all cartoonists felt the same, that you know, any speech is free speech and should be honored, you know, and protected. But that's not exactly how the conversation has gone. There was a really interesting full-page comic by Joe Sacco, the comics journalist, who really talked about, you know, what Charlie Hebdo was doing and saying, you know, I don't know if that's okay what they were doing. You know, obviously he said it's not worth killing someone over, but also let's look at what they were doing. They had racial and ethnic and religious stereotypes that were they were mocking. So and then Gary Trudeau, when he was accepting the Polk Award, made a speech about Charlie Hebdo, and he even said that, you know, cartoons are meant to punch up, you know, not down. And he felt that a lot of what Charlie Hebdo was doing was punching downward. So he was sort of saying, you know, it wasn't okay either. Now, but a lot of us as cartoonists believe that free speech should be ultimate, because as soon as you begin to you know, tell somebody, well, you know, you can draw this, but you can't draw that, you know, then it's a slippery slope.
What do you think about Charlie Hebdo? Do you think, Rob Rogers, that the publication went too far, was too provocative?
I mean,
and maybe provocative isn't the right word. Maybe yeah. Antagonistic is really what it was about.
Yes, but I think that in the back, you know, it was always meant to be challenging these sort of prohibitive laws that these religions were putting out there, that you can't draw this because it's wrong. You can't do it. And I think that they were saying, yes, we can. And while I respect that, I didn't necessarily think the cartoons were, you know, good cartoons or funny cartoons or even thought provoking. They were just mocking, you know, Muhammad. They were mocking, you know, the Catholic Church, Judaism, you know, all of it. So and some of them were pretty disgusting. So while I wouldn't have been a subscriber necessarily, and I certainly don't, my personality and my artistic oeuvre, whatever you want to say, it isn't drawn to that kind of you know, out there satire. But I still think it should be protected, and I still think it served a purpose in terms of really calling into question these arbitrary lines that we've let other people draw for us, you know, in terms of religion and politics. Even, you know, we don't live in a country where, you know, a dictator is saying you can't draw that, you know, like in some countries they have that. And
that's what was being said by, you know, the you know, I guess extremists would be the best way to describe this particular faction of of the Muslim world, that they're saying, you know, you can't do this, you can't say this.
Right.
And so is this a fluid situation for someone like yourself, even though you're saying you wouldn't necessarily engage in what Charlie Hebdo did, that the situation, the developments in the world dictate how a satirical publication like this or how an editorial cartoonist reacts?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it is. You know, we're reacting to the world. And I think that, you know, while some people would say that the cartoonists there weren't really doing anything that was social satire, they weren't commenting on the news, but I think they were commenting on that trend that we're talking about, this sort of hyper extremism that's happening, and it's taking over. You know, I mean, a lot of people would say that the, you know, Islam is a very peaceful religion, and here you have these guys that are becoming these extremists who are taking over and saying, now I know Bill Maher disagrees with that, you know, But, you know, I think that these extremists are the ones getting all the attention and making the news, and they're corrupting, you know, the religion itself.
And I was going to ask a question, do forms of satire cross a line? And if so, where is that line? But from what I'm from what I'm hearing you say, there really isn't a line per se.
Well, you know, there shouldn't be a dictated line. In other words, every person has their own line of what they find acceptable. And certainly my newspaper has a line. So there, you know, I mean, we've talked about that in the past. You know, when my editor says, I'm sorry, we're not going to publish that. You know, they pay my salary. I have to accept that. I can push hard and I can argue for it. But at the end of the day, they make the decision. But it's not the government making the decision, and it's certainly not terrorists or some religious leaders telling me what I can and can't draw.
We're talking with Rob Rogers. He's an editorial cartoonist at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm sure if you pick up the Post-Gazette, if you pick up, if you involve yourself or engage in discussions with people about topics around town, they will direct you to Rob's work if you haven't made that a destination already. And he's talking about the compelling exhibition that is being showcased at the Toonzeum. It opens tomorrow. It's called Slinging Satire, Political Cartoons and the First Amendment. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Where do you draw the line as far as political cartoons, editorial cartoons? Where is the line for you? When do you think someone has crossed the line? Maybe you have an example, or maybe you don't think a line exists at all. We'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. When, Rob, does free speech become hate speech, and should they both be protected?
You know, I believe that they should, because I mean, I think there's a fine line there. I mean, what somebody else thinks is free speech, somebody else may claim is hate speech. I think that we have laws that protect us against hate crimes, but I think speech is different. I mean, it's, you know, the old adage of, you know,
well,
sticks and stones.
but the hate speech may incite someone. The thinking goes for some,
that's a good point.
It's understandable. That the hate speech incites hate crimes.
Right. I mean, that's true. But then that's just it. If somebody's using the N-word, for instance, and you say, "I'm sorry, you can't say that," or "We'll put you in jail." I mean, like, you know, where do you draw the line for what constitutes hate speech and what you can and can't say? I think it's a slippery slope, and we end up going down that road, and pretty soon we have, you know, verbal police writing us tickets for cursing. You know, I mean, for instance, I once did a cartoon where I drew it was about the Confederate flag, and I had a Southern guy standing there saying, you know, when I look up the flagpole, I'm going to see a symbol of my Southern heritage hanging there. What's so wrong about that? And the next panel, you saw the legs of an African-American hanging from the flagpole. And some people got very upset that I would show, you know, even the remnants of a lynching in a cartoon. And one person argued, well, what if somebody sees that and thinks, yeah, lynching somebody from a flagpole is a good idea? See, that's what you're saying. I might be inciting them to do that. And it's...
Right. Well, you're clearly making a statement, though. I could see for someone to arrive at that conclusion, they would have to misinterpret the intention of your message,
they did misinterpret it a little bit, but they also felt like that their line for them personally, showing any kinds of, they were an African American, this person was, and they said showing a lynching at all is wrong. You know, you shouldn't do it.
And you can't, certainly you can't say, you know, what should not offend somebody if you're offended. You could see, and it's interesting because I think your intentions were clear and pure, and yet I can understand how someone might look at that. And I remember that cartoon, how someone might look at that and say, gosh, do you have to go that far, Rob?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Ted in Mount Washington with a question. Hi, Ted. You're on with Rob Rogers.
Yes, sir. Real quick, I'd like to ask this question. Are the Europeans better at satire than the Americans? I mean, it seems to me that there's more of an edge with European cartoonists and just writing in general. And also, if you look at America's history, when they had the old Jim Crow laws, there were a lot of racist, flat-out racist cartoons. So I think the cartoonists who are drawing these things should take some personal responsibility, because no matter what it is, it can be offensive to any ethnic group.
That's a good point. I appreciate that. As to your first question, I think that, yes, I think that the Europeans have a much longer history of satire, and they seem to have a different kind of appetite than we do here. You know, people have called America very, you know, prudish and, you know, provincial, and compared to some countries, I think they still view us that way. You know, but I think that
that's a whole nother debate.
Yeah, that's a whole nother debate. I mean, if you watch Comedy Central, you wouldn't think that, you know. But you know, they even have some editing on South Park, some censorship there. But you know, I think it is true that these kinds of, so for instance, Charlie Hebdo magazine. I mean, that was kind of a common thing there. I mean, that was only one of several. You know, French satirical magazines, and you know, we used to have more satirical magazines here, but now it's, you know, even Mad Magazine has gone to like once every couple of months, and we never, you know, did the same kinds of things that they do. So so I would say that they have a different taste for it, but then of course, you know, when you look at how they treat the royals and how proper everybody is in England, and you know, it's just. There's a lot of variety there.
Now, we've been talking with Rob Rogers about the exhibit that is opening tomorrow at the Toonzeum, and it's split between work dedicated to cartoons that were created in response to that January 7th terrorist attack on the offices of Charlie Hebdo, and then also the most current political cartoons that are available from today's top political cartoonists. So how long is this staying up? And as it stays up, as news breaks, will this be a constantly evolving exhibit to keep it topical?
You know, somebody asked me that today while I was hanging some of them. And unfortunately, to frame and to hang these pieces, it's a lot of work. And I mean, unless a really huge story breaks that needs the attention, we may add some work to it, but right now it opens tomorrow night, July 17th, and it's free to the public, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Toonzeum, 945 Liberty Avenue, and it will run through September 20th.
So you're hoping nothing big comes up that you have to take the painstaking time to...
I don't want to unframe these pieces and put new cartoons in there.
Well, it sounds like there are some good ones to see and plenty of reasons to attend the exhibit. It's called Slinging Satire, Political Cartoons and the First Amendment, opening at the Toonzeum tomorrow. And Rob Rogers, who is one of the people involved in putting this up and is also the award-winning political cartoonist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us here in studio. Rob, always a pleasure talking with you, engaging you in discussion. Thanks for stopping by.
Sure, my pleasure. Great to be here.
Coming up, from the Mason-Dixon line to the Gulf Coast, the South is home to some of America's most famous cities and landmarks. Travel contributor Elaine LaBalme takes us to some of them. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.